need is, as I look at scriptures, is that there is a God who wants to reveal himself to his children. He has a plan. The world might not have a plan. You might not have a plan. But praise God, he has the perfect plan. Do you want to know that perfect plan? I want to know that perfect plan. But I want to tell you something very important. It's not enough to know about it. We need to put it into practice. Is that something that comes to us easy? Not to me. It's not something that comes easy to me. But praise God, he has said that he will give us his Holy Spirit to help us do what is right. And God has also given us perfect instructions in this book. And what I want to do for the next several weeks, I want to study with you a book that we have all read, I'm sure, but sometimes kind of just read quickly through the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the second law, that's what it translates from deuter to, or second, and nomos, which means law. I like the Hebrew title of this book, this fifth book of Moses, as it's known in other languages, the fifth book of Moses. In Hebrew, it's Ha-Devarim. And Ha-Devarim means simply words, the words. These are the words. And Moses writes to the people of Israel. This is his personal letter to the people of Israel who are about to enter the promised land. They're right there on the border of the promised land. They can actually look over and see what's on the other side. And God, as we read in the scripture reading, told them that they would possess this land. It would be theirs because he had promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Does God keep his promise? Praise the Lord. He keeps his promises. And we are invited to trust those promises. We are invited to follow those instructions. How many of you follow instructions for a living? Can I see your hands? Yes, I would say all of us follow instructions, yes? How do we feel when we give instructions and someone does not pay attention? This can be a coworker, this could be a family member, this could be a friend. They do not pay attention. How do you feel? Ooh, I heard the word angry. What else? Disappointed, rejected. What else? Frustrated. Yes. Anything else? No respect. Ooh. We feel all these things. And parents, do you feel that sometimes? Maybe you would say a lot of the times. And if you want to know that, I know that is because my mom's here and she felt it many, many times growing up. You can ask her about some of those stories. She will be glad to tell you. Instructions. They are important. They keep us safe. Amen? They help us accomplish the things that we need to do. And when we don't follow the instructions, there are consequences. Yes? And some of these consequences don't just affect us, but they affect others around us. The consequences that I would suffer when I was a kid was one that maybe it's not such a big consequence today, but that was, you cannot go outside and play. Ooh, that was big for me. Today, maybe it's more like, you can't use your iPhone, yes? Or you can't use the internet. But back in my days, and maybe in many of your days, going outside was a thing to do. If you had a bike, you rode your bike all day. Your friends would come over sometimes, and I had a bat. I had a baseball glove. I had a baseball. And I was the only one who had these three things. So I would have 10, 12 kids knocking at the door. Are you going to play baseball today? And I was like, yes, I'm going to play baseball today. But if I hadn't done what my mom had asked me to do, there were consequences. And those consequences were, sometimes you will not go outside this afternoon and play. I say, oh no, please spank me. Please, Mom, spank me. I'd rather have a spanking. I know that's not something you do today, but back in the days, it was normal. Yes? It was normal. And my mom would say, sorry, Samuel, but these are the consequences. You can't go outside. And sometimes it was 2 days. Wow. Sometimes 3 days. Ooh. And I was miserable. You see, we had the mini Olympics outside of my house all the time. We had our tennis season. We only had two rackets. We would draw this line on the street, and we would just make sure the ball went over the line. Okay? So we were on playing, and we had 10 kids lined up ready for their turn to continue playing tennis. We had soccer. There was one ball, and sometimes that ball was flat, but that didn't matter. You kicked it into the goalie, and that's what mattered. We played basketball. We'd play marbles. It was a season for marbles. And everybody carried their marbles in their pocket and just walked around, and you want to play? Yeah, okay, let's go. And so we'd start playing. There was even a jump rope season. Yes. And you would have 15, 16, 20 kids out there trying to see who could last the longest. We would count. One, two. And I didn't want to miss all that. It was fun. But my mom would clearly state, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you don't follow the instructions, there are consequences. And I want to thank God for my mom telling me that. It saved me from a lot of things that happen in this world. So I think about it before I do something. What are the consequences? And I believe, brothers and sisters, that God acts with us in the same way. Amen? He gives us instructions because he doesn't want us to suffer the consequences of sin, of rebellion, of those things that God does not want his children to experience. So this is going to be more like a Bible study. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to see a few passages in chapter 1 through 4. And to give you an idea of what Moses is trying to do here in this book, basically he's trying to, first of all, tell them how they have been together throughout these years, throughout these 40 years. This is a new generation. These are the grandchildren of the parents who and grandparents who had come up to the border of the promised land, but they did not believe the promise. They rebelled. And Moses is here once again standing for the second time right before the promised land. His heart's desire is to go in. His heart's desire is to lead God's people into the promised land. And he's going to share with them the same thing God shared with his people 40 years before. It hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was the same thing. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we look at verse 3. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. That's what he was going to do. He was going to share with them these very important instructions. Instructions that would help them as they went over into the promised land. Verse 9, he speaks in the first person. I, this is Moses, spoke to you, you as the people of Israel, at that time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. Did God promise Abraham that his descendants would be as the stars of heaven? Amen. And here's a fulfillment of that promise. Moses was like, wow, you've grown. You're like the stars of heaven. I can't bear you by myself. So verse 13, he tells the people, choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And that's what they did. They chose these men that would lead thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens, and officers for each of their tribes. Verse 16, Moses speaking again, I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brethren. Sometimes things happen, yes? There's a disagreement. People don't see eye to eye. And God had given clear instructions as to how to solve these problems. Go and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the stranger who is with him. Verse 17, you shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. They were supposed to be righteous, and in that way fulfill God's will for his people. If we go to verse 19, they had been there on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, for quite some time, so God told them they should depart from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites. Something that I notice here in Deuteronomy is that the verb to see comes often. God doesn't just want us to believe in his word, but God wants to show us his word. Amen? He doesn't just want you to take it for what it is because he says so, but he's willing to show us, give us evidence. This is good for you, and let me show you why. And through this time that they walked through the desert, who was taking care of them, brothers and sisters? God was. They were not by themselves. God didn't just say, okay, this is Mount Sinai. I gave you clear instructions. Now, from here all the way to the border, there's a big desert. You walk, figure it out. We'll see you on the other side. No, God clearly showed them. And this is what Moses here says in verse 21. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. Is fear and discouragement something that is dangerous for us human beings? It's something very dangerous. It takes away our energy. It takes away our strength. It takes away our sleep. It takes away all sorts of things. When you are worried, when you feel discouraged, you don't want to do anything. And God here instructs them, do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. Does that sound like pretty simple instruction? Yeah, it does sound like pretty simple instruction. These men were not so sure, so they said, Moses, we've got a plan. And you tell us what you think. Moses, why don't we send several of these leaders? Let's send some men so they can scout the land, so that they can see if this is a place that we should enter and kind of see the roads and the cities and the people. And Moses said, hey, that sounds like a good plan. Let's go look. Let's prepare for what's ahead of us. And so they sent these 12 men, one out of each tribe. And if we go there to verse 24, it says, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came into the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us saying, what, brothers and sisters? It is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. It's true. Look at all the fruit that it produces. Grapes, figs. It's a good land. But what happened next? And this is where I believe we can learn so much. It's worth trusting God. Amen? It's worth being obedient to God. If we are ever tempted, and I know we are, not to be obedient. Not to be obedient is not worth it. It's not. It hurts. It pains. And verse 26 gives us an example of just that. It says, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us. He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Wow! Where did that come from? Had God ever said that? I'm taking you out of Egypt so that you can die in Canaan. Is that why God was bringing them out of Egypt? No! And the people heard that, and they were afraid. Look what verse 28 says. Where can we go up now? Our brethren, those 10 men, have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. These were supposedly giant people. They were afraid. They were discouraged. 10 men said, it's impossible to conquer and possess that land. 2 men said, it's possible. God has led us in the past. He will continue to lead us in the future. Amen? Amen? That was Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. I want you to pay attention to what Moses said to them. And this is incredible. Verse 29. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Basically saying God showed you how he delivered you from the Egyptians. He showed you signs and wonders. He opened up the Red Sea so you could cross on dry land. He fed you with manna. And he continues on saying, Verse 31, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, and in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. Had God abandoned them, brothers and sisters? No. The Bible tells us that God carried them as a father carries his son. We have any kids here today? I want to see the hands of the kids. Let's see the hands of the kids. All right. How many of you enjoy piggyback rides? Oh, look at those hands. They just went up even higher. Yes? God carried them, led them, pitched their tent for them, showed them where they needed to be. Does God want the best for us, brothers and sisters? He wants the best for us. He wants to take care of us if we will let him. But many times we have our own ideas, yes? And I can tell you, I have my own ideas, yes? But are my ideas any better than God's ideas? Never. They're never better. And Moses knew this by experience. Remember that. Our actions have consequences, yes? Especially when we're disobedient. Moses shares in Deuteronomy chapter 3 something that hurts him, pains him. You see, Moses wanted to cross over Jordan 40 years before. But now he was there once again, with Joshua, with Caleb, with all the children of Israel. And in verse 23, listen to what Moses asks God to do. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? 40 years had gone by because 10 men decided it was impossible to cross over Jordan. And the entire group of Israelites believed those 10 men. The Bible tells us that God got angry. And he said, okay, they will not cross over. In fact, they will never cross over. They will go back into the desert, and they will all die there. And their children and grandchildren, who they thought, what's going to happen to them? They will cross over. Because remember, God keeps his promises. Amen? To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God always keeps his promises, brothers and sisters. And now this new generation was there, and Moses was there. And Moses thought, maybe now God will give me this great opportunity to cross over into the promised land. I want to ask you a question. Is there a place you want to visit right now? A place you would love to go and see? Yes? What would that place be, Harold? Holland. You would like to go visit Holland. You're Van Dyke, yes? So he would like to go and see some of his roots in Holland. Anyone else? Where would you? Yes, Sierra. Okay, so seeing family would be something that you would like to do, and that would be in the state of Washington, I believe, yes? Okay, so that's another beautiful place to go visit. Anyone else has a place they would like to go visit? Yes. Ukraine, yes. The place that saw you be born, Ecuador, back there, yes. China, that's an interesting place to go visit. All the way to the back. Slovakia, right here. Oregon. These are all beautiful places. But Moses was not interested in any one of them. Beautiful places. Where was Moses? What was Moses interested in? He was interested in the promised land. And if you've ever been to the Middle East, the promised land looks a lot like Southern California. Yes? There's a lot of desert. There's a lot of mountains. There's little water. But you can grow basically all year round. Perfect climate to grow vegetables and fruits all year round. A lot like Southern California. And Moses really, really wanted to go in to the promised land. But if we continue reading here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25, he says, I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. Verse 26, that's Araxes' place, huh? Araxes, yes. But the Lord was angry with me, and he says, why? On your account, and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah, to that high peak, and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. Wow! That's pretty sad, yes? I think many of us have read it, and maybe when you heard it as a kid through Arthur Maxwell's stories, Bible stories, you came to that point, you go, what? After so much work, so much pain, so much suffering, Moses can't make it over? What was the reason, brothers and sisters? Why could he not cross over? Share with me. He struck the rock instead of speaking to it. What had God commanded? Speak to the rock, and it will give you water. But Moses was under so much pressure. People were coming at him at all times. They were complaining constantly about no food, no water. We're dying here in the desert. And he struck the rock. Did water come out? Water came out. But God had instructed him to do it one way, and Moses took it upon himself to do it another way. I'm talking with my wife, she said, when I was like 6 or 7 years old, I read that story. I went like, what? Moses cannot cross over into the promised land. Why is it that God wants us to be obedient? Why is it, brothers and sisters? Is there a purpose for us following instructions? What does the Bible say? He knows better than we do in all situations of life. He knows better. He wants our happiness, so he knows better. Okay, why does he want us to obey? Yes? Okay, so Moses let his emotions take the best of himself. Now, emotions like anger, are they natural? Yes, they are. They come. We all feel it, yes? In fact, the Bible tells us that God even feels anger. God got angry at Moses and said, you can't. But it's what we do with those feelings, yes? And God had a better plan for Moses. What was God's plan for Moses? To resurrect and be with him. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who did he see, brothers and sisters? He saw Moses and Elijah. He had a better land. He said, Moses, I know that you want to go into this promised land because it's beautiful. It's like the Ukraine, yes? It's like the state of Washington. It's like Holland. It's beautiful. We have somebody here from Switzerland. She would say, it's like Switzerland. But I have something even better than all that. And I want you to see the promised land. And I've promised not just Israelites, but I've promised those who live in Fallbrook, Temecula, Marietta. In fact, I promise this world to the entire world. It's a beautiful land. I want you to see my land. You've been tried a lot. You've been through a lot, Moses. You probably enjoy the promised land for a few more years, but I want you to enjoy something that's much, much better. And Moses, knowing that God wants always the best for each one of his children, we're going to finish here with chapter 4. He tells this to the Israelites, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God, you who have been obedient, are alive today. Every one of you." He was basically saying, hear the instructions. Don't do what I have done. Look, I can't go over. I can't cross this Jordan River. But you will, and Joshua will lead you. But pay attention to these instructions. Verse 5, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them." And this is the reason. "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." This great nation is what, brothers and sisters? A wise and understanding people. Do we live in a world where lawlessness predominates? Yes? Do we live in a world where everybody does what he thinks is best according to his own heart? Yes? Do we live in a world that is falling apart? Yes? And I believe the invitation that God has made through his servant Moses thousands of years ago is the same message for you and for me. Are we standing on the border of the promised land? Can we see it just across? And the invitation is to follow these instructions. Follow these statutes. Don't just know about them, but put them into practice. Will it change us? Will it transform us? It will. So my dad's here. And I asked, "Dad, what do you think? Why is it that God asks us to obey? Why is it so important for us to obey?" And my dad told me something last night. He said, "Samuel, when we do something once, okay, when we do it again and again and again, it becomes a part of who we are." And we know that God's laws are love. Amen? basically is to love God and to love our neighbor as our self. And the more we put this into practice, the more we look like Jesus himself. Amen? And the world will notice. Wow, they're wise beyond what we know in this world. They have understanding in things that we don't. And it's our privilege to invite them to know. To know these words, brothers and sisters. To know that there is a God who cares about what you're going through. About what I'm going through. People next to us might not notice. But God notices, amen? And he invites us to put our trust in him. To believe him. His ways are much better than my ways. Does God speak to us today? He does. Through these same instructions, the same ones. He'll repeat it again and again and again until we have a clear understanding of his will so that you and I one day can also look, not just look at a beautiful land, but we can live in a beautiful land. Amen? Because Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you and me. Amen? Amen? And he's told us the way. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is life. Do you want to trust God? Can we pray for one another that we will, by God's grace, trust God's word? Amen. Yes? I think that's a prayer we can be praying in these times that we're living in. To be faithful. Moses tells us, be faithful. Follow these instructions. So that you may live and live forever. Amen. I invite our congregation.